Hello and welcome to the Staff Realm. I'm Christoph from Microsoft Research, and I'm going to talk you through some work that we recently did on securing confidential multi-party applications in enclaves. Consider the following example. Maybe two or more hospitals that want to share their patient data to train some machine learning model. They might not trust each other fully, or for some other reason unable to share patient data in plain text with the other hospitals, so they only want to release their data to some attested enclave. As an additional complication, they may also have some proprietary code, so it's not just data, it's also code that's being shared. And because it is proprietary, they also do not want to disclose that code to the other parties. The learned model, the final output of this process, may then be owned by one, all, or indeed none of the parties. It may be encrypted with an ephemeral encryption key that is again only released to enclaves that serve as an inference server over that model, but that do not allow download of the actual model itself. A very similar example is that of multiple banks wanting to share transaction data to learn a model for prediction of fraudulent transactions. Let's recap how attestation usually works for SGX1 enclaves. First, the compiled enclave image is measured, meaning hashed, and some additional amount of heap and control memory pages are added, finally producing a hash which is signed by the enclave creator's private key. In SGX1, some of the options like heap size, stack size, number of threads are also fixed at this point in time. Such an enclave is then started and begins execution and extracts attestation evidence or quote, which it can send to any interested party, which can then in turn verify the evidence to satisfy itself that the enclave is running the right piece of code. But essentially, this means if any of the parties in our example wants to change any aspect of their code or data, all the parties have to come back together and compile and sign a new enclave image. And of course, that is an operational complication which we would like to avoid. Now, to understand the complications that we need to go through on the next few slides, consider the case of an enclave running an interpreter on a trusted party's script, which is not part of the enclave image, maybe loaded by channels later. But and as the nature of such a thing is, the interpreter and the script run in shared address space inside of the enclave, which means that they can, that both of them can trigger requests for attestation evidence, they can execute a new report instruction, and they can also tamper with each other's attestation relevant information. So even after the interpreter strikes a call, the script might change it. So those scripts are not necessarily, those scripts or pieces of code are not necessarily part of the original enclave image, which means they are not measured during enclave creation, and that therefore not reflected in attestation evidence or the code. So to enable secure the use of such a system, the main problem is, of course, that data and code is not measured. So the solution to this problem is to come up with an attestable commitment up front, which is measured by the signing process, but also by the CPU during enclave creation. And it includes all relevant enclave initialization data. We call this solution Extended Enclave Initialization Data, or for short, EEID. And the main changes are as follows. Again, on the right, you can see the same attestation flow that we had a couple slides ago. And the changes are as follows. The original enclave image is still signed by EA of the enclave image owner. And at the same time, we save the hash state just before that signature is taken. But at this point, we then add on additional EEID pages which to get measured into the same hash state, incrementally continued, and we then obtain a second signature B, a private key B, which we pass to the enclave in addition to the original one. So essentially, additional data and additional code is still put onto memory pages, which are measured during enclave creation time, and the second signature, EB, gives us an integrity guarantee. The actual key that's used for the second signature is not that important. We actually use a well-known debug key. Like I said, it's just for integrity. We don't actually need another signature by the original image owner. But once we've done that, we can actually start execution of the enclave with the additional data and code in its heap space. And all of this is measured during the enclave creation time. Any evidence extracted from the enclave later does actually reflect those code and data inputs. And once we extract attestation evidence inside of the enclave, On top of the original enclave image and the original signature, we also extract the EID data that has been added on these additional pages and the signature. So this process seems relatively straightforward. The original image is just extended by the additional code, which then we have two signatures, one which are then passed to an EID enabled station evidence verifier. So while the image extender is relatively straightforward, what really does get complicated is the evidence verifier, because essentially it needs to replay the entire process from the point in time where we took the cache state and extended. It needs to do so for the EID data, which is that, but it also needs to extend by the original heap and stack and control pages that the original enclave image was compiled and signed for. It then needs to check both final hashes. It needs to verify the base image vault, which is essentially an XGX vault in our case. And it then needs to verify signatures A and B to make sure that. But while this verification process is, of course, significantly complicated, it does have the advantage. It does not need a copy of the original base image. It only needs to know the hash state from which things are being extended. It's very similar to just knowing the hash of an enclave image. So anytime we restart this enclave with a different content in EID data, different code, different data, we do not need to rebuild the original image content, and we do also not need to recompute the original hash state before signing. This simplifies the deployment of such enclaves quite considerably, but assume that the EID data contains configuration settings, and one of them may be the current IP address of the Azure VM if it's being started on. This may change, but it's not really relevant for station in many cases. So we can actually start a new Azure VM, a new enclave in an Azure VM, without needing to re-sign the original image with the original owner's key. But in other words, we don't need to know their private key. We only need to know the well-known key for re-signing the process. Since this is a dev room, let's look at some code real quick. This is just a coupled EID code. We implemented this inside of OpenEnclave, and the loader modification is relatively benign. It adds a new memory page on the left here that contains various EID relevant pieces of data, like the entry point of the address at which the EID data is loaded, the TLS page count, that is the signature. These are all properties of the original base image, and it includes the hash state, which is saved, where it says OE SHA-256 save. But this information is then put on a single memory page, which is always the first one. And slightly later, we add the new EID-dependent memory pages, then computes a new enclave size on the bottom left here. And on the right, we can see that new pages are being added according to the settings in the updated settings in the EID configuration. These pages are relatively straightforward and easy to implement in a framework that already measures memory pages. More complicated, as I said, is the verifier plugin, which needs to take the base image hash, extend it once by the original memory settings, number of stack pages, and so on, which it does so on the top here. It has to do the same again for the original base image, which also had some other numbers of pages and stack pages added to it. And you can see those calls here to OE remeasure memory pages. There's one at the top and one almost at the bottom. And we then need to check that the resulting hashes are indeed as they should be. You can also see here that we use the well-known OE debug public key to verify the signature over the EID data. And of course, there are a number of other checks that follow later on, like checking debug version flags, things like that. An example of all of this is implemented in the OpenEnclave SDK, which is a fully featured SDK for TE applications. It's multi-platform, open source, open community. Microsoft is heavily invested, and we added some experimental EID attestation plugins to this framework. We've added experimental EID attestation plugins to this framework, which was relatively easy because we already had a fully featured framework that allows us to replay memory pages, measure enclave images, and so on. There were some tricky and somewhat unexpected things, mainly the fact that OpenEnclave actually does make changes to the original enclave image at signing time and at deployment time. So in conclusion, EEID is a small addition to Open Enclave, which enables secure and multi-party enclave applications. In near future, there will be SGX2 of KSS, which provides a config ID field, which is intended for exactly the same purpose of redeploying enclaves with different configuration settings without having to re-sign the original enclave image with the original owner key. However, since SGX2 is not really widely available yet, we had to do with SGX1, for which we found our solution in EEID. In the future, of course, there may be other TEs that could benefit from similar techniques. And of course, we should always think about having more parties